Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We've spent some time talking about it, and we proclaiming your word. And now we set aside time to discuss it, to expound upon what you've said to us. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would forgive me my sin. It is great, but we've come here to see Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen. Amen. One quick thing I wanted to point out to you, assuming I can find it. Yes, there it is. I wanted to point out to you in the Old Testament reading this morning, because I'm not going to preach on it. It says in verse 8, and I love it. I'm sorry, verse 6 first. It says, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. And then verse 8, I am the Lord. That is my name. This is really cool in the Hebrew because it says Yahweh, Yahweh. Because Yahweh means I am. That's his name, I am. I am is always in the present. We have no need to fear because he is with us always here in the present. And he goes with us wherever we may need to go. I would like to point out this morning that I think that the lectionary gave us some of the shortest readings that I've ever seen in a group in a day. I mean, they just blew right through, and thank you all who read it because, you know, you didn't kind of take it, well, okay, this is short. I'll just go up here and read it and then get down. No, I appreciate our readers. They are wonderful. But just as big is not better, in spite of what our culture says, short is not insignificant. In this first Sunday of Epiphany, we celebrate the baptism of Jesus, the incarnate God. Now, there are many implications of this event. First, it demonstrates that Jesus' participation in this distinctively human action fulfills the Old Testament commands. And it's also a continuation of the fulfillment of the prophecies regarding the Messiah. But what I really want to point out today is that the gospel passage may also provide us with the most significant account of the Trinity found in Scripture. Now, later on in Matthew, at the end of Matthew, you'll see that Jesus says, and go forth, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Clearly, that is the Trinity. But before we ever get there, and yes, oh, by the way, I get told often, well, you know the word Trinity is not in the Bible. You're right. That doesn't mean that the Trinity isn't in the Bible. It's there, and it's very clear. And today's passage provides us with that. Look at Matthew if you have your Bibles, and if not, there are Bibles there in the pew for you. It says in Matthew 3, 16 through 17, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Now, there are any number of what theologically we call Christian cults. They're anything but Christian, but they kind of promote themselves as being Christian. These are groups that have veered from Scripture to declare some insight into what God really says and who He really is. If you listen to them, you'll know. They are almost always formed by people who have absolutely no training in the interpretation of Scripture, and often have their own agendas. Some are even illiterate, and yet somehow they've managed to drag others along and create these organizations that fool people about who Jesus is, who God is, and what His message and word are all about. It's hard. Some of you may have relatives who have been drawn in to these cults. I myself have had an aunt and now have a few cousins who were drawn into Jehovah's Witnesses. It's hard. I want them to know Jesus more than anything you can imagine. But they don't realize that the guy who created Jehovah's Witnesses said, "Oh, I have seen and realized that the Greek never says that Jesus is God, and it never says that Jesus is the Son of God, and never says He's the Messiah." Well, real quickly, and I am going to probably do my study on world religions and cults again this year. It's been about 4 years since I did it, and it will be announced, and you'll have plenty of time. The amazing thing about Charles Taze Russell, he was the creator of Jehovah's Witnesses, or as he called it, Watchtower. And they're the ones who come around, knock on your door, and give you this little pamphlet and want to speak with you. Now, today I am going to talk about sin, so I'm going to confess one to you. When Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door, I just drool. That's not right. But, you know, it's just their Bible. They open it up and they say, "Well, let me tell you about John." And I said, "Okay, and what Bible are you using?" "Well, this is our Jehovah's Witness Bible." "Well, let me pull out a New King James for you." "Well, why?" "Well, because the Watchtower, believe it or not, publishes 250,000 King James translations a year. So why would you have a problem with that?" "I guess we don't." And so then you start pointing out verses to them that aren't in their Bible. And they're just flummoxed. Because the other thing that I find amazing, and yet people accept this, they don't even remember the verses. So you're in John, whatever chapter it may be, and you're at verse 25, and then the next verse you get to is 44. "Well, what happened between 25 and 44? "Well, Jesus said that He is the Son of God," and etc. We have to beware that we not change Scripture. That's why the Anglican Church in North America was founded. We want people to understand that this is God's holy word. It's been good enough for probably close to 5,000 years when you include the Old Testament. And all of a sudden, you find people who say, "Well, nah, it's got some nice stories in it, but I'm not sure it's really God's word. And there's some good morality teaching in there," and no. What we're going to read today is God's word. It said that He came out from the water and that he saw the dove. So, before I get out of my order here, it should be evident in this passage of Scripture that the Eternal Son has submitted himself to a human practice. Remember, Jesus, fully human, fully God, integrated together. So, what we find is that he participates in a practice. Now, this baptism was not new. In fact, it's a practice of cleansing in Judaism that was recognized and required confession and repentance. When Jesus goes to John and John says, I should be baptizing you. Why is he saying that? Well, because Jesus has nothing to confess. He has no sin. But what he's saying is, I am going to do this because humans do this. This is a practice that God ordained for his people at that point, probably 3,000 years before. So he participates. He recognizes that it is a prerequisite for human beings to confess their sin and make repentance. But Hebrews 4:15 says this, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Why? Because he became a human being. But we do have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Do you ever find yourself talking with God and saying, God, you just don't understand. It's tough. And the Lord says, well, you know, Jesus was there. He understands. In fact, it says he was tested in everything that we get tested in. Yet he did not sin. Bless you. Additionally, so that's the Son participating in this, the part of the Trinity of the Son. But the Holy Spirit also participates in this, bringing his affirmation of who Jesus is by descending as a dove. Is the Holy Spirit a dove? No. It's kind of interesting. I remember someone who had been on a trip in Israel, and they came back and they were talking about how wonderful it is. You can go to the exact place on the Jordan River where Jesus was baptized. Okay? You know, it's somewhere on the Jordan River, but I don't know that exactly. Oh, it was. Do you know what happened? We were standing there and everybody decided they would go in and get baptized. Well, there's a problem there. And that is, we don't recognize multiple baptism. You don't need it. That's like, and Jesus says it in the scripture, if you took a shower this morning and put on the appropriate smelly stuff and made yourself all nice and pretty, yeah, you know, you don't need to take a shower before the service.